Hello, dear children. I'm Mannequin. By the way, I'm almost as big as you are. Actually, you can't see me, but I'm here. I'm an imp, actually a story imp. And imps are nature beings. There are lots and lots of them in nature. We like to laugh, just as you do too. We like to sing and dance and hop around, just like you. And we experience a lot and also have lots to do. So there's lots and lots to tell. Now, let's see what kind of a story we've brought along for you today. Hello, children. Nice that you're here again with Mannequin, the story imp, and the stories. Our story today tells about storks and their great journey to Africa. A stork family named Klack Klack had spent the summer in a quiet village by the Baltic Sea in Germany. Father, mother, and three stork children. The two oldest children, a son and a daughter, were already full grown. They avidly practiced flying together with the other young storks, who, like them, were preparing for the big journey. The third stork child, Clacky Little, was a late arrival. His first attempt at flying had ended in a so-called crash landing, and he had sprained his right wing. Clacky Little had meanwhile become quite perky, but still had to regain his full strength. His worried mother took loving care of him. Storks live in small families, and in autumn they fly south in large groups to spend the winter there. The young storks set off on the journey somewhat earlier than the older ones. Their instinct, which is a fine perception, tells them when it's time to fly away. This year, seven stork pairs wanted to fly together, among them Grandpa Clack Clack, as the oldest stork and tour guide, so to speak. Surely you're asking yourselves how the storks actually know exactly where they should fly to. Do they have a map? Oh no, they don't need one at all, because migratory birds fly according to their sense of orientation, which, like a kind of inner compass, tells them where they should fly to. This inner compass responds to certain features, for instance, to the Earth's magnetic field. As long as this is in habitual order, the inner compass can correctly guide the birds. And something more. Why do the storks fly in a group and not alone by themselves? For migratory birds, flying together is not only more enjoyable, but above all, it's not as dangerous. Everyone can help and support each other and share their experiences. And so the young storks now rose up together into the clear air, circled the meadow a few times, dipped a few times toward the older storks and sent them their sensation impulses, which were something like this. Father, mother, heartfelt thanks for your loving care. Don't worry, we'll soon see each other again in Africa. The older birds looked up, put their heads way back as storks do, and clacked loudly as if to say, "We wish you much courage, steadiness, wisdom, and insight. You're not alone. The power and the light of the Creator God permeates, carries, and guides you. and with steady wing beats, they disappeared into the distance toward the south. Dear children, do you know which countries are in the south? Perhaps you know some faraway places like Spain, Italy, Greece, Israel, Arabia, Africa, Asia, Australia, and many more. Grandpa Clack Clack, our stork tour guide, now explained the flight route. We'll fly, as always, first to southern France. It's very beautiful there, but we can't stay there long. We always keep our goal of Africa in sight. He explained many other things, and all the storks listened attentively. With all the important explanations and preparations for the journey, no one had paid any attention to Clacky Little, who stood miserably at the edge of the brook with his head hanging down and his wings too, particularly the right one. The young storks had not wanted to take him along. "We can't take this responsibility," they explained, saying that he would only slow them all down with his lame wing. Father Clack Clack wanted to help his son and asked to be heard in the stork circle. "What can we do?" he asked the storks. "No stork can overwinter here in the north, and the loneliness alone would make him sick. He's the youngest of all our brothers." The big storks shook their heads thoughtfully. Would the journey be too strenuous for Clacky Little? What do you think? How could he manage it? Let's ask Mannequin how the story continues. Suddenly, an elderly stork skilled in healing spoke up. He went to Clacky Little and examined his wing. "Hasn't anyone told you at all that you have become totally healthy, strong, and vigorous?" he asked the small, fearful stork. "Is that true?" asked Clacky Little. "You bet," said the old stork. "Try it out. And for a final strengthening, I'll give you a few drops of the famous natural medicine made by the elves." He dribbled a few drops in Clacky Little's beak. "The power of the earth, of the wind, the water, and the fire is in it," said the stork doctor. Clacky Little's eyes shone with joy. He took a few deep breaths and straightened up. "And now fly," said the old stork. Totally amazed, Father Clack Clack saw how his youngest lifted off into the air and circled the meadow with joyful wing beats. "We'll still need to watch out for our young brother. And probably the journey will take a few days longer," the doctor informed the group of storks. "But when we all affirm it and stand fully behind it, he'll manage it." And so it was decided that Clack Clack's youngster could fly with him, and he shouldn't be called Clacky Little any longer, but Clacko. On the morning of the departure, the oldest stork gave the last instructions to the group. "Is everything clear?" he called into the group. They all affirmed, "Everything's clear." "Then let's set off," said Grandpa Clack Clack and gave the starting signal. In a body, 17 storks lifted off into the air and flew toward their first goal, southern France. Clacko kept pace well because the adult storks knew how to skillfully keep him in the middle so that he was carried along by the air currents that they produced with their wing beats. When the storks arrived at the first large resting place in southern France, they first clacked a lot and strutted around and then ate copiously because they were very hungry. Afterward, they went onto the water again to shake the dust out of their feathers. Clacko, the youngest stork, splashed his feet in the water. "It's nice here, Grandpa Clack Clack. Why don't we stay here?" Clacko couldn't imagine that winter would also catch up with him in France. "That's why," Grandpa Clack Clack informed him. "We have to reach the warm climes in good time." "And Grandpa, why actually are we always flying here and there? We could spend the whole year in Africa.
Well, answered Grandpa Clack Clack, it's this way. The infinite creator spirit put the desire to fly in our blood, so to speak. The mighty creator spirit doesn't do anything without a reason. We birds, like all other animals, live in evolution. And our present level of consciousness tells us to try the air as well as the water and the earth, because we should communicate with all the elements. Besides that, during the brooding time, when the children need to be cared for, the parents don't get a chance to fly much. Because of this, they don't exercise their wings enough, and so at some point we storks have to really fly. Particularly on such long distances, we can strengthen our wings. Do you understand, Klecko? Oh yes, Grandpa Clack Clack, you are wise and know so much. Thank you for the information. After several days of rest, they continued over the mountains, over valleys, and wide plains. Klecko had almost made it, but when in northern Africa the blazing sun, which radiated back at them from the hot sand, made things hard for them, Klecko called attention to himself. Grandpa, he said, I can't go any further. Please, let's take a long pause. No problem, children, to provide a rest for their younger brother, who until now had kept up well. They decided to make a detour to the Canary Islands near Africa's coast. They found a nice place there and recuperated before continuing their journey. The longest journeys also come to an end. Our storks approached their goal, which would now be their home for several months. Look, look, called Clack Clack, there are our friends, Crocky the crocodile and Trampley the rhinoceros and Clatry the monkey. How you've all grown! We're happy to see you again. All the animals rejoiced that the storks were there again and moved into their nesting places in the crowns of the African trees, the lions, the tigers, the monkey, the camels, the giraffes, the zebras, the elephants, the antelopes, and all the others greeted them each in their own way. Your youth arrived already a week ago, they said, and they feel totally at home. After they had shared experiences for a long time and told each other all the news, the hour came when the flock of storks separated. Each one sought out his place in order to tend to his tasks. But Grandpa Clack Clack admonished, "Don't forget that after several months we meet punctually here again when we want to make the journey back in spring." And little Klecko was happy. First of all, he hadn't imagined that the second home in Africa would be so beautiful and interesting. And secondly, he was very proud that, like the big birds, he had mastered the long and difficult journey. And so calm and stillness drew into the storks' hearts once more. They rejoiced at being in a warm country again with the other animals who were all their friends, because they knew that when winter arrived in the northern countries, it would become very cold. And for this reason, they enjoyed the pleasant warmth of the south. Well, dear children, migratory birds fly to the southern countries so that they don't have to expose themselves to the cold of winter. So what is it like for us human beings when the seasons bring us winter? Listen well. Mannequin in this story want to tell us the following about this. If it's warm in our heart, in our inner being, then we'll also come through the cold, the winter, well. Because the inner warmth, the loving radiation of God, our eternal Father, will then lead and guide us. And we'll always be in that place where it's good for us. Then, like the birds, we'll have a warm home and also enough to eat and drink. Because anyone who loves God can also be guided by God, our Heavenly Father, in such a way that he will not have to live in want. Dear children, shall we remember this well when it's winter and cold around us? Manikin and I take our leave of you for today, and we'll be glad to have you join us for the next story. So, that was it for today. I'll be glad to have you with us again next time. I'm Manikin, the Story Imp.